What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the All Pumped Up Podcast. I am your host, Tyler Winters. We are going to get back to our normal format for these episodes. Our last two episodes were a little different as they were primarily just interviews. I definitely encourage you to check out those last two episodes out if you haven't already. But if you are new here, we want these episodes to feel sort of like a morning radio show. We'll discuss the news from the week, provide our unwanted opinions on those topics. Then we'll do extra stuff like play a game or include an interview if we've got one. We are hoping to start dropping these episodes weekly from now on, so definitely be on the lookout for these more often. And speaking of interviews, we will be talking with Big Picture Media's Natalie and Becky later on in this episode to talk about what they do to help some of the biggest names in the scene succeed and how we can help our favorite bands during this time. Today, I think I'd like to get started with letting everyone know that after launching 1 year ago, this month, I have decided to shut down the All Punked Up merch store. I'd like to thank everyone who purchased something. You have no idea what that means to me. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Secondly, the reason for me dropping the store, at least temporarily, is due to costs. Although the store brought in some revenue, it wasn't enough for me to really justify keeping it open. And with the expenses it took to keep it going, it just made sense to close it down for a while. Again, I do hope to bring it back, but thanks so much to everyone who purchased something from the store and the people who supported and rocked it, all the items they purchased on social media. You guys are oh so amazing. Thank you so much. So with that said, we will go ahead and begin our show. With me today is Allie, as usual.
Hi.
And we have Natalie sitting in today. So welcome, guys.
Hello. What is up?
How's it going?
Before we get started, though, this is Natalie's first podcast episode. So welcome, Natalie.
Thank you.
It may be your first episode, but she is definitely not new to All Punked Up. If you've been following the site for a while now, you've probably read some of her material. She's basically been writing for All Punked Up since the very beginning. Now Natalie kind of oversees the other writers and does a lot of our Instagram lives and that sort of thing. So thanks, Natalie, for coming on. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Yeah. Natalie, why don't you talk about your day first and then I'll go.
Well, I've been hanging out with my 4-year-old sister for the last like month or so while I have some time off with quarantine. So we hung out. She's obsessed with Big Time Rush right now, so we've been watching that.
Beautiful.
Which is a little throwback to my childhood.
Who's her favorite from
James.
James? I can see that.
Yeah.
James,
every time.
Nice hair.
Yeah, she says every time, can we watch James? Personally, I like Kendall, but you know, I can't fault her for that one.
I wonder what they're up to now.
I think they're all making their own music.
Oh. I met Logan Henderson at my internship at Billboard 2 years ago. That was interesting. And then I saw him at a festival a couple of months later, and I was like, wow, this is more frequent than I anticipated.
So, Natalie, you ended up having a storm rip through your area, right?
Yeah, we got the, like, outer corner of Isaias, the hurricane that was on track for Florida, that my brother still lives in Orlando and says they had 12-mile-an-hour winds, but we were out of power for 36 hours.
Yeah.
Which was awful.
Yeah. And then it came up here, too, in New York. So there's like, scaffolding in front of my building and stuff, and it was just, like, swaying in the wind.
Terrifying.
And, yeah, I think other people I know got it worse, though. Like, people did lose power in, like, Brooklyn and stuff. There's this building, I want to say it was either in Brooklyn or in the East Village. It, like, lost the front of the building. Like, it's just it's just gone. It's gone. There's, like, footage all over Instagram and stuff. It was so wild. I was having, like, I'm from Louisiana, and so hurricanes are, like, just a part of your upbringing. And I was having a lot of, like, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Gustav, like, flashbacks, like, PTSD. And then we had, like, those huge floods in 2016. So I was just, like, in my room just being like, oh, God, not again. I left the South for this reason.
Yeah.
Why?
And like, we got hit really bad, like, 6 or 7 years ago with Hurricane Sandy.
Mm.
And that's the last big one that we had. And I was out of power for 13 days with that one, ooh, which was absolutely terrible. So at least this came, our power came back on about 8 o'clock last night, which was great.
That's good.
But it was hot and humid, and entertaining a toddler is not the best.
Yeah, hot and humid is not the best environment to entertain children under the age of five. No.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
No.
So, Allie, I noticed on your Instagram story a couple of days ago, you mentioned that you went on a date.
How'd that go? But that wasn't the point of the post.
Oh. Well, you know, when I first saw it, I was like, that'd be perfect to discuss on the next episode. Well, so here we are.
Okay, so story time, I guess. Yes, I went on a date. No, that's not why. I don't like to advertise my, like, dating life or, like, relationships all that much on social media, because, like, that's my business, not anybody else's. But this person had, like, asked me, we were talking about, like, the state of journalism and stuff, because they're also a journalist. And they just asked me, like, have you ever thought about going back to school? And I was like, in my mind, I outright said, like, for what? Like, what would I do? What would I study? Because at this moment in time, like, that I already have a master's. Like, what would I get to do? Become a doctor of journalism, of communications? Like, that's just not a thing. I don't know. But then, like, whenever I came home, I just kept on thinking, like, man, I kind of wish I was back in school. I need structure. Like,
I
can get
that.
3 degrees. Triple threat.
This pandemic has really made me consider going back for my master's, which I don't even know what I would use with the degree. It's just having that schedule would be nice again.
Yeah, I can't tell if I, like, miss school because I genuinely miss being in a classroom setting and, like, absorbing knowledge and, you know, having, you know, in-depth discussions about things I care about, or if I just miss having a schedule. And I think it might be the latter.
Yeah, I definitely think that it probably is the pandemic that's forcing you to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Natalie, I don't think you going and getting your master's would do you any bit of good except put you in more debt, assuming you have debt like everybody else does that goes to school.
Exactly. As somebody who has a master's, I will say that, like, if you feel like it's the route you need to go, then go for it. And if it's not, then don't put yourself through that kind of struggle.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Especially because with my degree, I have to go back to Full Sail to get my master's. And as great of a school as Full Sail is, they offer maybe one or two masters that would pertain to me.
Right.
Okay. So I guess we can go ahead and start discussing the news. It seemed like it was a pretty slow news week, at least for the last week and a half. But we do have a few things to discuss. First up, Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker just released a pop punk song called Concert for Aliens. Have you guys heard it yet?
Yeah.
And what do you think of it?
Okay, so here are my thoughts on Machine Gun Kelly. Like, I was not, whenever he first came onto the music scene, I didn't really care for him too much, but I just felt kind of, like, lukewarm towards him. But then, like, my opinion started to change a bit when last year he released I'm Not Okay with Youngblood and Travis Barker. And I'm just kind of like, wow. Like, I'm not a huge fan yet. Like, I can definitely just say that I like what he's put out. I think I like Concert for Aliens definitely the most thus far. I think since he released I'm Not Okay a year ago, I've been steadily, like, increasing in my likage of him. And that, like, I think it's because he has, like, made more of a turn into diving back into his more punk roots. And, like, I just really appreciate it. I just really appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, I actually really dig it. The song, and I dig that he seems to be going in that direction, going more pop punk.
Yeah.
And the reason I dig it is because I think it could be really huge for the genre. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got a guy who's pretty big in the mainstream radio realm already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if all he's going to start doing is making pop punk tunes, then if he's big right now, then you would think that the radio would have to start playing one of his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so suddenly you got Pop Punk on the radio, then you get this like sort of domino effect, and then you'll start seeing more Pop Punk start to come back into the mainstream, and then suddenly it's early 2000s again and everybody's happy.
Woo! I think that, like, well, okay, here's just the funny thing that I think a lot of people don't, like, if I think a lot of people forget that, like, Machine Gun Kelly is a huge fan of old school punk. Like, there was a Nardwire interview, or I guess whatever, a Nardwire style interview, because they're not quite interviews. They're more like, hi, I'm going to talk about your life and you're going to be astounded. he brought him out like an anti-flag or like a black flag, like signed like album. And he just like lost his mind. He was like, oh my God, where did you get this? And how did you know that I was a huge fan of this band? And Nardwuar, of course, his response is just like, well, we need to know. That's his response to like everything. And I think it's like, it's really cool that rappers like Machine Gun Kelly, even Post Malone, like, they're like, have expressed such love for bands like Blink and Green Day and Nirvana, et cetera.
Yep.
They're giving it recognition. And even like Tyler the Creator, damn, he was a huge fan of Pop Punk when he first, like came onto the hip hop scene, and like he's always been vocal about his love for like this genre. So I'm really excited to see hip hop kind of stepping in a little bit to help give the scene recognition.
Yeah,
sorry, absolutely. I took up way too much time. I'm sorry.
And I think what I like about Machine Gun Kelly the most is that he doesn't really seem out of place coming into the pop punk scene, like making this new music. And because I know I saw him in 2018 on tour with Fall Out Boy, and he was the only one on the tour that I was like, he's going to stick out, but he just blended in very well with them. Mm-hmm. So this is not like, he's not a sore thumb in the scene, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to agree. Yeah, right. Because I didn't think of him as a pop punk guy, especially with the first song. The second song, he sounds way better on. But yeah, you're right. He fits right into the mold. It seems like a very smooth transition for him. So
yeah.
And since Allie mentioned Green Day, Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong recently spoke with Kerrang and mentioned that he thought people would absolutely hate the song Good Riddance or Time of Your Life before he released it. He said, and I'm quoting him, doing something like Good Riddance was terrifying for me, to put myself out there and be that vulnerable. He goes on to say, I thought people were probably going to fucking hate it, but I think the way that it resonated with people, I was able to kind of go, okay, now I've really accomplished something that was a shift. And as an artist, I felt more empowered that I could keep doing my thing without having to feel like I had to please everybody.
Right.
This interview stuck out to me today because it kind of brought me back. I remember way back when, and I think it was when VH1 used to do Behind the Music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they still do that or not. But I think it was a Behind the Music with Green Day. I'm really not sure, but I do remember them talking about this song and how different it was from the stuff they normally had been putting out. And they were known as a punk band at the time, and I remember Mike Dirnt coming on right at the end, and he said that Time of Your Life was the most punk thing they could have put out at that time. And I thought that was a really cool thing to say, and yet so true, because, you know, everybody says punk is, you know, going against establishment and, you know, go against the grain, that sort of thing. And I mean, I totally agree. An acoustic song is the most punk thing that punk band could have done at that time.
Right. Well, because punk is more than just, like, a style, necessarily. It's very much a mindset as well. Don't get me wrong, I think the punk style is definitely, like, of course, one of its many identifiers, but I think the whole, what you do with yourself, the mindset you carry, your actions, that's, like, what you do and how you do it, that's punk.
But I think he had a right to kind of be nervous about it, especially when you look at everything Green Day had released and what they were known for up until that point. This was something very pivotal for them. Mm-hmm. And it's not what their fan base or anybody who kind of knew who Green Day was expecting from them because they kind of set their staple sound very early on. And this was just right out of left field.
And it goes on to arguably be their best song in their repertoire. So
I would say it's in my top three.
It's usually everybody's go-to when they're playing acoustic guitar. It's either Wonderwall or Time of Your Life that you play.
Oh, God, Wonderwall.
Hey, I love that song. That song does not get old.
Yeah. No. I'm not hating on Oasis. I just think, okay, it just reminded me of when I was at Warped Tour and I saw The Used. Bert started to do a cover of Wonderwall during The Used's set. And he, like, stopped midway and was like, oh, I fucking hate Oasis.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Oh, God. Sorry, okay. Sorry, that was my one F-bomb for the podcast. And after
I would say, though, that that cover that they did was a great cover. And they haven't released, like, a studio version of that, right?
I don't think so. It was a brilliant cover. The crowd was hella into it. Like, they were all singing along and stuff. But then Bert just stopped and was like, I hate Oasis.
Oh, man, I love The Used.
Oh, goodness.
So this one's probably going to get me worked up a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. But the Chainsmokers. I know they aren't usually what we write about on All Punked Up. We have before. But they recently, last week, All Punked Up's Julia Perol wrote, the Chainsmokers held a drive-in, and I'm putting that in air quotes, the Chainsmokers held a drive-in festival over the weekend in the Hamptons, although for most attendees it was not an actual drive-in show. Approximately 2,000 guests gathered for the outdoor concert. Many wore masks but were not required to keep them on throughout the show. There were additional barricades, and attendees claim they did their absolute best to social distance. But from the footage from the actual concert, there didn't seem to be any social distancing going on. Guys, this is so, like, freaking messed up. First dummy singer Chase Rice holds an outdoor concert for around 1,000 people, and now these dummies are doing the exact same thing. And I get it. Bands and artists need to make money right now.
Yeah.
If that's even the reason for holding these concerts. I mean, I would think the Chainsmokers and Chase Rice are doing quite fine.
Yeah, they're fine.
Without doing concerts.
Yeah, easily.
But concerts, how we're used to seeing them right now, should not be happening. It's absolutely stupid.
Not even a little bit.
Right. Yeah. We're still in the middle of a freaking pandemic. And not to mention, it just looks terrible for the artist.
Yeah.
Throwing a concert during these times gives off the vibe that you don't give a shit about your fans, since you're literally providing an opportunity to put them at risk. I frankly just lose respect for businesses and bands who do this type of thing. I just think it's disgusting.
Right.
But it's also, when you do something like this, you're creating in a longer period of time before we can get back to concerts as we know them. And it's not just the bands that are hurting, and it's the entire crew. It's everybody that's on the road with them, that their livelihood is live events and live tours. And now you're prohibiting them from working for that much longer because you couldn't wait it out like the rest of us and not hold a concert.
And we should add that Natalie does work in the music industry. She does work on concerts, so she is heavily affected by this, and she can speak to it.
I know I was supposed to start working in the spring, and then everything was still shut down, and they were like, it's only going to really be for the summer, but clearly we're going well into the fall. Probably if concerts do come back, it's going to be next summer at the absolute earliest from my knowledge, and there are a lot of people that I know that have not been able to work, that are struggling, that can't afford to go grocery shopping because we are shut down. And it's a lot of people do focus on bands and the artists, and yes, they are hurting too, but they also make commission off of album sales, merch, anything else that they can do to get by through this. Whereas your tech crews, your tour crews, your managers, anybody that heavily works behind the scenes is not getting paid. And I'll throw in that, yes, All Time Low and a lot of bands, I know The Main did it, have tried to help their crew. But a lot of crews aren't getting that. So when shows like this happen, it's just keeping those people from working that much longer and keeping them struggling that much longer. And I can't speak for everybody, but I know I do it not for the money, but because I love it. And we're all kind of going crazy because the one thing that we love to do, we physically can't do.
Right. And I think it's especially hard in the genre in which we preside, because like if for pop, for R&B, like for a lot of like, you know, heavy hitters that are, you know, like they're going to be fine. Like people, like artists like the Chainsmokers that like do make a lot of money from streaming, do make a lot of money from, you know, YouTube, do like they're going to be comfortable. Like they might not be shelling it out like they have been before, but they'll get by. But for artists like, you know, I have a friend, he's in a pop-up band, and they're supposed to record their second album under their label a couple of months ago in March. And now they've had to put out a statement recently saying, like, listen, we don't know when anything is going to happen. And I talked with him the other day, and he was like, yeah, like, my brother and I can't work. Like, all of us are, like, really struggling to get by right now because, like, we can't work and we can't play and we can't record and we can't put out anything because, like, we're so far from our, like, the people we can work and record with. So we're all just kind of sitting ducks here.
Right.
It's just really difficult. It's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier, merch sales and touring is really important for alternative musicians because it's just, you know, how a lot of people will make some form of income.
Right. And it just shows artists like the Chainsmokers and anyone else who's putting on a concert right now, just how selfish they actually are because they're not caring about their fans or the well-being of anybody that has to work that or who is attending that, but also just anybody else who can't do that. And like the scene where it is a lot of bands that don't have as big of a following that are struggling to get by. Now they're also hurting for that much longer just because one band was getting a little bit cramped at home and just wanted to play a show. Yeah.
You know, I'd really love to hear the reason why they decided to throw a concert.
Have they put out a statement?
Not that I'm aware of.
But like, I'm very interested to know the reason behind why anybody is putting on a concert right now.
Yeah.
Because clearly it's just not working out for anyone.
No. Nope. If anything's shown us, when we shut down the country for, you know, a few weeks, I think we did it for about a month here in Illinois. The numbers went down. They just started going down. And as soon as people got pressured to open up their states, the states opened up. What happened? Numbers start going up. I mean,
why can't we just be like New Zealand?
The numbers are there, people. Like, we have to follow the rules. We have to wear a freaking mask. And then we can get back to normal soon. But everybody's got to help.
I also think as a collective human race, we have to stop using the phrase avoid it like the plague, because apparently we don't do that.
Staying on the concert topic, Loudwire wrote today that Live Nation's revenue fell 98% due to the pandemic shutdowns. That to me is absolutely crazy. So check out these numbers. Per Loudwire, Live Nation had just 24 North American concerts in the last fiscal quarter, which just ended June 30th. So I'll repeat. There were only 24 live concerts last quarter compared to 7,213 in the same period last year. It goes on to say that amounted to net revenue of $74 million for this year's second quarter, which is 98% less than the $3.16 billion from a year earlier. That's crazy. I just really feel for everyone involved in the music business. I personally know people all throughout the music business, and they've all been affected. I know we've already kind of touched on that, but this kind of encapsulates, you know, the impact of what is going on.
Right. and Live Nation being a multi-billion dollar company, like they own venues all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I used to work for Live Nation, and they were saying that they put on like a million concerts a year, maybe more. I'm pulling numbers out of orientation from 2 years ago, so forgive me if I'm wrong on that one, and someone can fact check me. But they put on so many concerts, and just like that's just really a wake up call of like how bad it actually is
for
the entire industry.
Yeah. When like, you go. Yeah.
Sorry, I got
done. I was just going to say, when you go from 7,200 concerts to 24 concerts, that's a big deal.
Yeah. That really shows, like, if businesses like Live Nation are struggling, then you know it's rough that for, like, local venues that maybe are, you know, still independent, still trying to keep their authentic, like, no, that's not what I want to say. They're still local, they're still independent. Trying to just, you know, that have been around for decades.
Yeah.
Trying to just survive.
Yeah.
So, like, if I know that I've been seeing a lot of, like, Save Your Local Venue stuff on Instagram and stuff. So, like, if there is any way that you can help your local venues, please, guys. Help, please.
Yeah, we'll try to, since you mentioned that, we'll try to throw some links in the show notes. So if you want to help local venues, we'll try to track some links down and throw them in the in the show notes.
And just another like little comment on Live Nation, how they had 7,000 something typically last year. Mm-hmm. That's not even including July and August, which is heavy in their country scene. Mm-hmm. Which you have a concert every Friday, Saturday night. That's not including the four or five that are during the week. And so you have a ton of shows just in those 2 months, let alone the rest of the year, too.
Right.
So 7,000 might actually be a low ball for their typical rate, especially through the summer.
Right.
So the CEO of Spotify said some choice things recently. And I feel really sad for Live Nation because, like, they put on shows for people to enjoy. And right now, the only way that we can really enjoy music is through streaming. And you have people like the CEO of Spotify not properly compensating artists just during non-pandemic times of the year. That sounds like it's an annual thing, but it's not. And then he says things like, well, like, if artists want to be properly compensated, this is a rough quote, then they just need to continue putting out music a lot. Like, they just need to put out more music. But, like, listen, I'm trying to put out an EP right now, and it is costing me a lot of time and money. So, like, it's just really tone deaf, and I'm just really mad that, like, you are the CEO of a company that is the primary source for people to engage with new music and with musicians that, you know, that people are huge fans of. And, you know, local artists, smaller indie artists are trying to do their best to keep their craft alive and have to deal with shitty compensation from your platform. And then you're just like, well, you just have to put out more. Sir, we're in a pandemic. I'm sorry I don't have $5,000 to shell out all the time.
Right. Even not in a pandemic, a lot of small artists don't have the means to put out an EP every year or an album every year. Like, especially in this scene, a lot of younger bands have full-time jobs outside of their band that they just don't have the resources to put as much time and money as they can into it. Mm-hmm. So that's just really not fair.
Yeah.
He did go on to say that, you know, because of streaming, everything has changed. The game has changed. You can't just release an album the way you used to and expect. Right. So, but, and I do agree with that statement 100%. But until you start thinking about what you guys just brought up, the means to actually, it costs money. To create an album.
An
album that sounds good and is produced well.
Yeah.
That is the problem. I just don't think he thought it through all the way. I think the logic behind what he's saying makes a ton of sense. And I think he's right there. But how possible it actually is to put in place right. for these artists is, I mean, it's not possible for okay. most yeah. artists to do that.
Yeah, so. Especially that's a really, oh, sorry, Natalie, go ahead. Go ahead.
Especially the artists that are fully self-producing the stuff themselves. Like that yeah. will take months just to record everything, not let alone mixing and mastering and actually getting it out there. Like it's a long process and mm-hmm. not everyone has the free time to just sit down and do that every X amount of months.
Right. And then be unfairly compensated by a big old company like
Yeah, because you make like
Spotify.
A fraction of a penny for yeah. like one yeah. stream.
Like, and you do make a yeah. make a good point that even during the pandemic, I mean, who was it? Was it Bandcamp? That,
yeah, Bandcamp.
They're
yeah.
giving money. They're basically giving money away during the pandemic to all these artists. And mm-hmm. it's Bandcamp. They have, I would think they have nothing on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. Like the least Spotify can do is up their payments to what the others are doing.
Right. Right. I think the streaming platform that has the best payout right now is actually Tidal. But I don't, yeah. the thing is, I feel like a whole lot of people don't use Tidal because, I mean, Spotify, of course, has such a good algorithm for discovering new music. And Tidal, at least in my experience, it feels like it's just what's popular and it doesn't feel as user friendly. So like when I want to discover something, I go to Spotify, but when I have a favorite that I'm just like, I can go get this right now, I can just go to Tidal.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if Tidal pays more just because Jay-Z runs it and he's an actual artist, so he understands.
Yeah, he gets it. I think he's yeah. opening up a school in Long Island for music.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Jay-Z's a cool dude.
Yeah. I don't have all the details for that, but I saw it and I was like, way to go.
Yeah.
You go, man.
So I think now would be a good time. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, it's our interview with Big Picture Media, so make sure to come on back. If you listen to our podcast, then you no doubt have a love for the rock, alternative, punk, and emo genres we cover. And with everything going on in the world today, it can be tough to stay up to date with all of the happenings in the scene. That's why we put together and send out a weekly newsletter to help keep you informed with all the major news from the music world we know and love, so you never miss an important update. Each newsletter will include exclusive newsletter-only content, the top trending news pieces from the previous week, all punked up specific news, random thoughts and rants from me, editor-in-chief and founder, curated weekly playlists, band spotlights, and much more. You can subscribe today by heading to allpunkedup.com/subscribe. That's allpunkedup.com/subscribe. And we're back. As promised, here is our interview with Big Picture Media's Natalie and Becky. What's up, guys? With us today are two ladies that work tirelessly behind the scenes for some of our favorite bands. We have Natalie and Becky from Big Picture Media. Big Picture Media describes themselves as an entertainment publicity agency founded and based in the heart of New York City. For over a decade, they have specialized in publicity and buzz-building services for bands, festivals, events, soundtracks, nonprofit organizations, and even clothing companies. They specialize in things such as national television, print magazines, newspapers, and everything digital. They are the firm that breaks through traditional walls while handcrafting each campaign to fit their clients' needs. Natalie and Becky, welcome to the podcast. And
hello.
It is so great to have you guys. How are y'all doing?
Intro.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
How yeah. are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay today.
So yeah. Was,
I mean, besides this like hell heat wave, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. I hear you. Before we get going into how awesome Big Picture Media is, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves and maybe how you got started in the music industry and maybe what you do for BPM?
Okay, I'm Natalie. I am from Southern California. I moved to New York 5 years ago because Big Picture had an office in LA and we decided to all be together again. So that took me to the East Coast, which I'm really excited about because I always wanted to live here. I got my start at Hopeless Records. That's where I met Dana and kind of been working together ever since. In September, it'll be my 7th year with Big Picture.
Yeah. I'm Becky. My story isn't all that exciting. I'm from New Jersey. I went to school in New York City. I always knew I wanted to work in music, so I started looking around for some internships, and through a friend of a friend stumbled upon Big Picture Media. I interned there the last 2 years that I was in college, and I basically told Dana that she was never getting rid of me, and I've been here ever since. So I just celebrated my 6th anniversary back in February.
Congratulations.
Awesome. I guess maybe how we should start is, is there a typical day for you guys? I'm sure it's ever-changing.
I would say pre-pandemic, going to the office, a lot of emails, lots of phone calls. I miss being in the office because me and Becky and the rest of us would talk out loud and brainstorm, talk about pitches, who's doing what. It's like a lot of just like still waking up, still a lot of emails, still a lot of phone calls. The BPM team will Zoom once a week, which is really good for like our staff meetings, which it's nice to see their faces again. That's us in the day. In a nutshell, we never know. Like, it used to be like New York City press days, and we would take our bands, Allie, you know about those, where we would take our bands all around the city, do all these interviews. We'd go to shows at night. This happening made me realize just how much we would go to venues and see bands live. So those were long and fun days. Now it's just a different type of fun, I guess, being inside.
Yeah, I think pre-COVID, we definitely had very sociable jobs. So the switch to working from home was very strange. And like Natalie said, we don't do press days anymore. There are no shows to go to. So those weekly Zooms have really been great for that social interaction we're not really getting on a daily basis otherwise.
Yeah, that makes sense. So with touring and everything basically at a complete halt and everything that the music industry has had to go through during the pandemic, I imagine you all at BPM have had to get creative in how you normally would be doing things under normal circumstances. What are the challenges that you've faced over the last 3 months? I know you kind of alluded to it, but is there anything maybe innovative that you guys are doing now that you may not have been doing previously?
I think it was a lot of like finding new people to talk to about this, because not only did we have to pivot and like who we pitched and what we pitched, but a lot of writers were furloughed or they were doing there's new features now. So Becky did press for a live stream festival. And so that was something she had to like go and find out like who would cover live streams. I would say like a lot of research. It's like more research and talking to people and being a lot more open and honest as well with just like how things are going. Becky, if you want to elaborate more on like that festival.
Yeah. It's very strange pitching a festival because obviously like, yes, people can still watch it, but it's not quite the same experience as going to an actual music event. So just learning how to talk to people about that and explain what it was a big shift for us. And just seeing who was actually covering live streams, because so many bands were doing them too. Like the music industry was essentially saturated with like bands just doing live streams on their Instagram. So finding ways to make that kind of stand out amongst everything else that was going on. And then like Natalie said, just like being more open and honest in our pitching and, you know, understanding the fact that there's so much else going on in the world right now and so many other things that people are worried about, and just kind of being respectful of that and being sensitive to that when we are reaching out to people, because obviously we still have to do our jobs, but we're people too, and like we feel all of these things that everybody else is feeling, and we want people to know that we're there for them and we're listening and we aren't trying to be insensitive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, talking about live streams and whatnot, you know, when the pandemic happened, you start seeing news about, you know, well, hey, now the music industry is really affected, no more touring. That's how the bands make money nowadays, is just from touring. So how are your bands making ends meet right now?
I would say merch, like new merch drops, like them making masks and things like that. And just in general, like if you want to support your favorite band, like buy their merch as much as you can right now because that's what's helping them. I need to get more familiar with Twitch, but I watched Sleep On It do their cooking show recently, and there were ads in it, so I was like, I'm hoping that revenue is coming for them through these ads. But yes, like touring, my roommate works at AGI, which is a booking agency, so I talk to her every day about this, and a lot of her job all day is rescheduling, trying to reschedule tours, but they still don't know when music's going to come back and when they'll be able to have a chance to like really play a show. It looks like the ones who are able to do the drive-through shows are bands that are more established and maybe have the backing that can help them rent a parking lot. I feel like we won't get one here in New York City because like none of us have cars, which is sad. I saw the front lot really doing something in Philly, and I would love to go. So yeah, there's not much, but I would say merch is what I've been seeing is like the biggest thing for them to make money right now.
I will say that Twitch has such an untapped potential when it comes to its potential platform for musicians and artists. I've been using Twitch for a little while now, and I've mostly only seen like DJs and like people that play like house music or like play electronic music, but like the influx in musicians joining to just do live concerts has been like honestly a presence I didn't know I needed until this pandemic happened. Like I think the first time I like saw somebody I really admired play or like even just like interact with fans, it was Chris from Hot Mulligan, and I was just like, there's like somebody I like know and like admire on Twitch using it to connect with fans, listen to like demos that people sent to him, and like just like playing around and like doing some like production stuff or like playing like tinkering around with his guitar and stuff. Like it was really cool to see what was such an untapped like market for musicians in this scene, like kind of like trickle in. And it's been great seeing it grow.
Like, see personalities, like, again, like, when I saw a bunch of our bands were doing Twitch streams, I was like, I'm going to tune in, like, I wonder what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we worked with Can't Swim for a while, and I tuned one of theirs, I was like, oh, they're all hilarious. These guys are so funny, and I had never really, like, seen that side of them before, so that was something.
Yeah, I think one thing that Twitch does, it really does humanize people to a degree, where you can just see a little bit more, like, a little bit more personal glimpses of, like, how a person actually is when they're just not on stage, when they're not at the merch table greeting fans. Like, I think that's been really cool to see. Cooking shows and, like, people just being themselves.
Yeah, and I think it was, like, Jason Isbell who did, like, a live stream on his phone but forgot to turn it off, and I was like, right, it super humanizes people. Which just could be a good thing.
Yeah, I just feel like, too, the people who are going to be successful are the ones who figure out how to innovate, you know, and just think of something new. And and I'm sure that's kind of like what Big Picture Media does. You know, you kind of come up with new, you know, publicity ideas and that sort of thing. So has there been anything that you guys have maybe tried to pitch your bands, or do the bands come up with the ideas?
The bands come to you with ideas,
I think something that I have actually had a lot of success with over the last few months is like morning TV opportunities, which is weird to think about, like all of the different regional TV networks. Because usually when we have bands on tour, we'll pitch them to go in studio and do a performance and an interview in studio before they have a show that night. But obviously there's no touring, so everybody's just kind of stuck at home. But with that lack of like opportunity for musical guests on morning TV shows, a lot of them have come back and said like, hey, we would love to have them submit a pre-recorded video. We'll air it as if it's live just to bring people a little bit of music in the morning. So that was something that like I'd never really thought about because it was always just an in-person opportunity. But now that that isn't really a thing, we've had to find other ways to get around it and to still make it happen.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, because if you watch the, you know, any of the late shows right now, like Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Fallon, that's all they're doing, you know, because they're they're doing stuff from home, but all the musical performances are clearly pre-recorded.
Yeah.
But it's a win-win for everybody.
So one thing that's super impressive about Big Picture Media is your guys' stacked lineup. I mean, you guys have such an awesome roster. If you don't know, Big Picture Media works with Bayside, The Used, Neck Deep, Newfound Glory, Stand Atlantic, Water Parks. The list just goes on and on.
Get more.
What is it like working with these bands and a roster like you guys have? Does it at all get intimidating? I mean, those are some important names in, you know, the pop punk or punk scene or scene in general.
Yeah, I feel so lucky. I can't, like, I say this all the time, but these are my favorite bands. Like, I listen to this music when I'm, like, at the gym. Like, this is the music I like to put on. So it's not just a job for me. It's also, like, a big part of my life and what I enjoy. I wouldn't say it's intimidating. I feel more excited about things, which I think only adds to, like, the enthusiasm that Big Picture has. And I think that's why we have it, because we all genuinely just love these bands. We love their music. So when we get their new record, it's not just we're putting it out. It's let's talk to them. Why is it important? What are the singles going to be? Like, putting together, like, an awesome story just to make sure that we're telling their story as accurately and as cool as possible, because we are fans. So we just want to do right by all the bands we love.
Yeah. I'm sure that they appreciate that y'all truly believe in, like, what it is they're trying to do with their music and what it is they're trying to convey and the stories they're trying to tell. I'm sure that they all really appreciate that. And if they haven't said that, they definitely should.
Our bands are really nice.
Every artist needs a good team that supports them.
Yeah, I mean, like Nat said, these are just bands that we love. And, like, for me personally, it's so much music that I grew up with. And it's so exciting to just get to be a part of, you know, the rollout for a new record and to get to give back to these artists that I feel like have given me so much over the years. And, like, mm-hmm. Bayside is a really great example of that, where, like, I literally have their logo tattooed on my foot. And, like, they know this. They know that I am a fan. And, like, I still am able to get down to business and say, okay, what are our themes here? What are our inspirations? Like, what is the story that we're trying to tell? And, like, be able to go back and forth and deal with those late night text messages that are like, hey, like, I'm really concerned about something, or like, hey, I had an idea. And just kind of, like, go back and forth and make it the rollout that they want it to be. And that goes for all of our bands, where we just, like, as long as they are happy, like, that's what makes us happiest.
I think you, Natalie, when you said that BPM is fans of their clients, I think that that's gotta be what sets you guys apart from maybe other publicity agencies. I don't know, but being fans is only going to help the careers of the bands that you guys work for, because you have their best interest.
Yeah.
That's the best right there.
I wanted to ask, who was the first band that you represented? Like, who was, like, the first job that you were just like, wow, I cannot believe that this is my job now?
I think the first real true PR thing I ever did, like, for an album, was for Silverstein, when I was at Hopeless Records. It was so fun, and it was the thing that made me say, like, oh no, I really like PR. Like, I think I can do it for real.
Yeah. If you were not sure before, you are definitely sure now. What about you, Becky?
I think, so when I started at Big Picture, I was an assistant, and one of the first bigger campaigns that I got to help out on was Taking Back Sunday for the release of Happiness Is. That's when, like, one of my all-time favorite bands. So getting to, like, help out on that and schedule phone interviews for, like, Taking Back Sunday was just such a cool thing to be a part of.
When you become really stressed out with big campaigns, what are the things that you do to keep it all together and keep the boat sailing? Like, how do you handle that kind of stuff in times of frustration and stress?
I don't know about press days. Stressful things with press days would be, like, people canceling and you just, like, having to, like, entertain the band and be with them for, like, a couple hours. Like, mm-hmm. if lucky enough and have a hotel that's close, it'd be like, you guys go there, I'll read a book for 2 hours and we'll meet up, like, a mm-hmm. little. I think with campaigns in general, the one thing I like about Big Picture as well is this, of like, we all help each other so much. It's like, we brainstorm. We can't get a premiere for this certain song. We let everyone know and we just, like, talk about it and do that. And I think the support system at Big Picture Media is the reason why these campaigns go successfully, because, like, we're just not going to allow each other to fail.
I think one of the worst campaigns that I was ever a part of, there was one day I had a call with the manager and I just got off the call and I pulled Natalie aside and I said, Natalie, I'm not doing well. That didn't go well. And she just, like, let me kind of get it all out and, like, mm-hmm. talk through it and, like, talk to Dana for me because I just couldn't form the words and like mm-hmm. felt so bad about the whole thing. But just like knowing that everybody has your backs makes it so much easier because you're never like truly dealing with anything by yourself. Like everybody's always there for you.
Yeah. I remember the one time I went to the BPM office, whenever I walked in, like I just felt like a really supportive environment.
And it's also just, especially with everything going on the way Becky said earlier, it's just like, mm-hmm. no one's going to die if we don't get a premiere. You know, it's like at the end of the day, we kind of like understand where this is coming from, but.
Right. What has been it? What are like some pet peeves that y'all have as PR people when it comes to campaigns that y'all are in charge of? I'm sure that one of them is not getting responses from writers.
I literally was going to go.
I am so as a writer, I want to personally apologize. A, not answering emails. B, saying yes, I'll do this, and then it not happening. Mm-hmm. Or C. Whatever falls under C, like if I've ever wronged any of you, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you are so fine. You're one of like our favorite people to work with, so you do great on your responses and stuff. I've actually had the pleasure of, you know, asking writers, like I straight up to their face was like, what's the big deal? Why do you not answer? If you want me to go away, I'll just say no.
I'll take you off the contact list.
If people just wrote back N-O, just no. That's all you have to say, and I will stop following up on that email, and like it'll be that much less in your inbox.
But someone, one of those writers, told me like if I give you an inch, you'll take a mile, and so I just don't even want you to know that I exist. And I was like, oh, okay,
that's excessive.
No worries.
Got it.
I mean, he has to be the realist, and hey, I asked, and he answered. So
yeah,
love it, but all good. Okay.
Anyway, one thing I really admire about PPM, it's a very supportive team. And I think something that this industry definitely needs more of is just like women supporting women. I think that's like something I see a lot from BPM. And I'm sure that like, as you know, most people listening to this, most of us know at this point, like it's music industry is a very male dominated industry. Obviously, y'all have made such a foothold for yourselves in this scene in particular. Have there ever been moments where maybe you weren't seen as like equals to male counterparts in the same field? Have there ever been issues where, you know, maybe you weren't seen as equal because it's an all-female team, because you're a female PR person? Have there ever been any situations in that like realm in the music industry for you guys?
I do feel like we should say that Big Picture Media is a female run company of females working for the company.
Yes, should clarify it. Yes.
Professionally, there have been a couple of times in like my span of my career where I definitely was like, I like looked over for maybe that. Mm-hmm. PR wise, I feel like I've never felt that way because we work with a lot of male publicists as well at different companies, and they're all homies and very nice, and we're always like, got this for you, and things like that. But I feel like as well, like we've gotten a lot of support from people being like, I love that you are an all-female company, and they only help like bring us up with them. So I feel very lucky in that regard, but I also know like obviously just going through Twitter that it's a fucking shit show out there. So yeah.
The Twitter timeline is a tornado for sure, but we don't have to get into that today. not today.
That's for another episode.
That's for a different episode.
Okay. I think it's important to note that like, Dana, who is the founder and our boss, always has our backs. Like, that's another reason why we're so confident in what we do is, like, it's not like we bring a problem to our boss and she goes, I don't care what happened, fix it. She goes, what's going on? How can I help? You know, it always has our backs because I think, you know, if I ever ran a company, that is the model I would take is, like, backing up your staff is just, like, why we all like where we work. It's why we back each other up. It's he created that environment, and I think that's important to note as well.
Not only that, it's not only good for you, but it's good for the clients that you serve, too. I mean, it's going to be a big old trickle effect. If you just treat people like people in business, you're going to have a lot of good come to you.
Be nice.
Yeah. If you could give any like advice to any young person that wants to make their way into PR, what advice would you give them? What would you recommend? What are some steps that they should take if they want to pursue a path like you two have?
Yeah, I think just like on a very practical level, like internships are a great way to get your foot in the door. Interning is just such like an important thing. And I know it's hard right now with everything going on in the world, but like there are still internships out there. And then just like whatever you decide to do, be passionate about it. Let people see your passion, because I think that putting that energy out into the world is what attracts others to you and makes them want to be a part of that journey for you. So just like be excited, put in the work, get yourself out there, like meet people. All of it's very helpful.
No, but I'm sure that's very helpful to somebody that's just like, I don't know how to start. I guess, you know, this whole, how the world is right now, how the music industry is right now, it's a very fluid situation, and we're not entirely sure how things are going to look in, you know, a month, 6 months, a year, oh God, a year without shows. Please no, knock on wood.
Wear a mask.
But I wanted to ask you, what are some things that you are looking forward to in the music industry right now? And what are some things that you've been very excited to have come out during this period of time?
I would say in quarantine, Hot Mulligan got a review in Pitchfork, and that was like my favorite thing that happened.
Yeah.
We've also worked again with like a couple nonprofits, Find Your Anchor, which is like a grassroots suicide prevention. These little boxes that are like found in these places to help people. I just really want shows to come back. I know that's not going to be a thing, but again, I just took those so for granted. I would say coming up, Chain Fest is something that's like got moved to 2021, but that's like a festival, a show that like I know Becky and I are working on it together, and it's like our godsend of like our favorite bands and things like that. So that'll be something I'm looking forward to.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's definitely keeping me going.
Yeah.
That's one day happening. I have a couple records coming out this fall that I'm really excited about that aren't announced yet, but like I really love. And there's some very cool stuff coming in the fall that I think people are going to be really excited about, which is awesome. Over the past couple months, I've gotten to really love Strike Anywhere, which is this like political punk, like veteran band that I had never really listened to before, but I'm a huge fan of now. And they just dropped an EP that's like very relevant to the current state of the world. So that's been really cool to just kind of dive into and learn more about them and their like style. And then right before quarantine happened, I had my first national TV booking, and like that, like high from that has just kind of carried me through and given me something to like hold on to.
Congratulations.
And who was that for?
That was a band called Magic Giant, who performed a song on Good Morning America.
Okay. Nice.
I've been most hyped about the new music that's been coming out. Like, oh, I just can't wait.
You know what I can't wait for?
What?
Natalie shared it with me today, was that Stan Atlantic record. Oh my God. I had it on repeat for at least 3 hours.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so happy that you...
I don't know how they do it. That band is...
Yeah, one of our favorites. So it's like,
yeah. I'm going to say they are, if not the best, one of the top two. Best. Well, I mean,
Who would the other one be, Tyler?
The only band I can compare them to, at least for me, pop punk wise, State Champs. State Champs and Stand Atlantic are the best right now.
Remember, these are just opinions, guys. Please don't come after Tyler in the comments or in his DM.
You can come at me. That's fine.
You can have a respectful conversation, please. All respect in this game.
I don't know that I'll be staying with that. But yeah, that album's good. So people in your guys' role definitely play a huge part in helping launch careers for artists. And I think bands know how important an agency like your guys' can be for them. So how does the process work for a band when they come to you? Like, how do they end up on your roster? Where does it start?
There are a couple ways. I guess formally, there's like a submission page on Big Picture Media, and if you were a band and wanted to talk about PR, it would go to our general manager, and he would kind of like fish it out from there and send it to us and see what we think. There are also more fun ways, which are like going right up to a band being like, I really like your music. Do you have a publicist? And that we've gotten bands like that. Hot Mulligan was, I saw they didn't have a contact on Facebook, and I emailed their manager and just said, can I do it? And then that's how that one worked out.
Nice.
Yeah, or a lot of them come from referrals, which have been great, because I think the bands we work with and love and do well with tell other bands like them or in that genre, or even like not in the genre, and they'll come that way. Yeah, lots of meetings, a lot of our friends start bands, or so it's a lot of that. So there's many ways, but I feel like most of it comes from referrals or us just like literally cold calling, reaching out, being like, we love you, do you need and want publicity?
Now, how many bands are assigned to each of you?
It depends, because some of us, like I work a lot with the rosters of like Hopeless and Pure Noise, Tooth and Nail. But I would say that we each have about 10 at a time, give or take, depending on what's going on, big projects, especially during the summer, because we do summer stage, all the New York City programming. That's Katie, and she kind of focuses on that, but she's also got like some projects on the side. But we're never, our boss is also very good about being like, how are you feeling? Are you busy? Are you feeling like you can give each client like 100? And so that's kind of how.
Yeah.
Gotcha. This is a random question that just popped in my head, but does anybody at Big Picture also make music? Like, just even if it's just as a hobby, like is anybody else? Natalie.
Oh.
I write funny songs like nobody's business. I pay $20 a month. I download this like little studio thing. I've been making beats.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. I play guitar. Yeah. I love it. It's so fun. My goal for quarantine was to do one song, like have a real legit song. Awesome. I'm halfway there.
Please like send it my way when you're done. Please, I'll send you my demos, and you can send me your song. And
okay, cool.
Natalie, we'll do the big premiere on All Punked Up.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I would die. And I'm also really good friends with Pronoun, so I'll send them to her, and she will, like, mix them and make them sound like real songs. And so I'm like,
we love it.
Can I go on tour with you?
I love that for you. Please keep us posted on that.
I will.
Yeah. Have you ever gone to like a press day interview and like you're watching the band get interviewed and it just, the interview just goes like off the rails? Like, have you all ever seen? Please share. Oh my gosh, please. If you can, it's okay if you don't have to. You don't have to.
I mean, I won't call anybody or name names, but yeah, like I've sat someone down who I even said to them, hey, please focus here. They did not focus there. They went exactly where I told them. They didn't feel comfortable going. And that's, as a publicist, you step in. You go, hey, I told you we can talk about that. Or, yeah, just making sure they wrap it up. Phoners are the same way. Like, a lot of the times we listen in, and if something happens, like, I just unmute myself and go, excuse me. No, but
yeah.
Nothing horrible, but, like, mm-hmm. Definitely. Many a times we've had to cut in and say, stop it.
Yeah. I think one of my worst press day experiences was a band was doing an interview and the singer did not like the question because it was about music that he hadn't necessarily been a part of. And then once that question came out, he just like shut down, got very like sassy and wasn't taking it seriously anymore. And it was like a live, like, streamed live to Facebook interviews, so it wasn't something where we could necessarily jump in and be like, hey, like, let's just bring it back to this. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to like roll with the punches and wait for it to be over and then be like, hey, like, in the future, like, there's a better way to handle that.
Right. Did you ever watch an interview and feel like there were missed opportunities on certain conversations that could be had?
Yeah, but I think that just comes from like the journalists. There are great journalists who do incredible research who are and know to ask those questions. And I think someone who is just kind of, air quoting, like phoning it in is just going to try to get these things and then go, okay. But I think better articles, better features, better videos, better interviews all come from like research and knowing like what questions a band or like a songwriter might want to answer.
I think if there is something in particular that like we or the band want to talk about, like it is something that we try really hard to like bring up in emails when we're pitching things and saying like, mm-hmm. hey, they're really passionate about this. It's something they'd mm-hmm. love to talk more about. Like yeah. we give like bullet points of things that like we would like them to touch upon and hope that they'll take it and like run with it.
Tyler, do you have anything else to add?
Just that thanks for all you guys do. I mean, you guys are really a great company to work with. You guys are always answering emails, and I appreciate that. I definitely appreciate the advance on the Stand Atlantic album. I've been waiting for that. Anytime you guys need anything for one of your bands, just come to Allie or I, and we'll make it happen.
Got you.
That was so nice, and we also feel the same way about you guys. Like, thank you for, like, responding to us, like, helping our bands get heard. This is awesome, too. Like, taking time to talk with me and Becky about everything is, like, so nice. So we thank you as well.
All right, guys, that'll do it. Thanks so much for listening. We really do appreciate it so much. Remember to like, subscribe, and follow this channel. We're now on all major streaming platforms, so follow or subscribe there as well. It really helps us know that you like what we're putting out. So thanks again, and let's all do our best to love one another. Peace.
Bye.